to order this hearing of the Minnesota Senate Taxes Committee, Tuesday, February 25th. It is 9:05 a.m. The quorum is present. First item on our agenda is consideration of the minutes. Are there corrections or additions to the minutes? Seeing none, the minutes are approved as presented. We have one bill before us today, Senate File 769. We will be, there's a lot of testifiers. We're going to ask you to be brief, no more than 3 to 4 minutes, so that we may get through all of these people who want to have their say about Senator Housechild's bill. So please be aware of that. The committee will end promptly at 10:30. Senator Housechild, 769. Senator Housechild offers the A2 amendment. It's an author's amendment. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. We now have Senate File 769 as amended before us. Senator Housechild.
Thank you, Chair Rest and members of the Tax Committee. As Chair Rest mentioned, I have for your consideration Senate File 769. And Madam Chair, I like to think that I'm in the business of Minnesota exceptionalism. I think we are a unique state. We go out of our way to have each other's back. We have a strong system that looks out for families, that looks out for people. But we also have to be cognizant of the competitive nature of our state and how we attract businesses and industry. And Minnesota is also known for having a broad and diverse economy. That helps us in tough times, making sure that we don't have the deep dips that some other states have, but we also don't have some of the highest highs. And I think that's a really good thing because we've made a concerted effort. We've been thoughtful about incentivizing different industries, different businesses, and we're also very lucky, particularly in my region, to have the natural resources that benefit our economy in Minnesota. But we're on a new frontier. Technology has advanced, and we're no longer the old age economies of the past. And I actually want to use that as an analogy, Madam Chair, because I think it is pretty relatable. You see, in Minnesota, we have the taconite, the timber, and many of the materials that were used in things like World War II to help us win that war. And we still are reliant on those things for many of the things that we use each and every day, from the cars that we drive to the cell phones that we use. However, it's not just the hard materials that we rely on anymore to be competitive, not just in our nation and our country, but really globally and across the world. And unfortunately, it's my feeling, and I think it's the feeling of many in my region, that people forget where things come from. And it's really easy to use hard rock, taconite, minerals, timber to say, don't you know where this stuff comes from? The ground, from the people that mine it or cut it down. But now with this new age technology that we're in, people also don't realize that the things they use each and every day come from the cloud. They come from technology. They come from data centers. They come from the things that power the technology that we use each and every day. And it'd be really, really easy to just dig our heads in the sand and say, well, I'm going to use that technology or I'm going to use those minerals, but I'm not going to think about where we actually get it from. And I think that's really important for us to be cognizant of. We have to understand that these things don't just happen. You have to be thoughtful. You have to make the investments necessary to have those things available for you. And I think if Minnesota doesn't stay competitive when it comes to attracting new age technology and the future that is ahead of us, we're going to lose out to other states around us. And we know that other states are making efforts to compete for these large scale investments in data centers, the cloud, AI, and new technologies that we all are going to use, each and every one of us in this room. And I know you, Madam Chair, in particular, are looking at AI and the advancements in technology. We all are going to use this. So one way or the other, you're going to be using that power. You're going to be using those databases. We all are going to benefit from this, but we have to make a strategic decision whether or not we want Minnesota to be competitive for those things. The other thing that I think is important about this bill is that it's new wealth. This is about attracting new investments in the state of Minnesota that otherwise wouldn't happen. So while we are providing tax incentives for data centers, it's entirely possible that these investments don't happen here, and that means those tax incentives would never happen. We have to make strategic decisions that create new wealth, create new opportunities, construction jobs, materials, technology. All of these things will help us advance as an economy, and they help our local economies too. They'll help our local tax base. They'll lower utility costs for residents. They'll help for the jobs of the future. And no matter what, we have to meet our 2040 climate goals, which is why I'm so proud that we advanced that 2040 climate bill in the 2023 session, because at the end of the day, no matter what investments are made in Minnesota, our utilities have to figure out how to meet our climate goals. And I know that the companies interested in making these investments want those climate goals met as well. So, Madam Chair, this bill does two main things. First, it changes the program for tax incentives for databases from a refund to an upfront exemption. This significantly reduces the unnecessary administrative burden for DEED and the Department of Revenue, as well as for the companies looking to make these investments. And Madam Chair, this is a really important point because all of the states around us do these upfront exemptions. So Minnesota is in a unique territory where we are asking these companies to take on the burden of a reimbursement rather than an upfront exemption. Second, this bill creates a new investment tier, Madam Chair, and extends the sunset to 2050 for regular and large-scale data centers. And Madam Chair, you may remember that this is in the shape of the bill that was in the Senate omnibus last year that we voted on. We made sure that we sort of conformed to what we had put in last year's bill. This bill will provide thousands of construction jobs and hundreds of permanent well-paid positions in these new technology facilities. And most importantly, I think for me, I'm in a region where we have coal plants, where we have old age economies that I talked about earlier on in my testimony. And what this will do is it will help our local economies with their tax base. For every incentive that we provide at the state level, our local governments will reap the rewards in tax benefits that will far exceed the investments that the state is making. This matters for rural communities. This matters for greater Minnesota. So, Madam Chair, with that, I'd be happy to walk through the bill quickly because I know that we have a lot of testimony ahead of us. Thank you.
If you would do that, that would be much appreciated. Thank you very much.
Great. So, Madam Chair, on page one, I'll just highlight what I think is necessary for folks to look at. On paragraph C, this is changing the upfront exemption for large-scale data centers. On page three, I want to point to paragraph F and paragraph G. This adds the large-scale data center definitions to the statute. On page three as well, on paragraph H, this is where we define large-scale data centers, Madam Chair. So this is the 25,000 square feet and $250 million investments. In paragraph I and paragraph J, this is the amendment, Madam Chair, that we that the author's amendment that I had, which changes the sunset to 2050. On page four, paragraph M, this is the requirement for DEED to certify qualified large-scale data centers. It requires the Commissioner of DEED to notify the Commissioner of Revenue of its findings within 30 days. It requires the Commissioner of Revenue to notify the data center seeking the exemption within 10 days of notice of the certification. And it also makes the case that purchases made before the Commissioner of Revenue notification does not qualify for the upfront exemption, but is still available for the reimbursement under, the reimbursement under current law. On paragraph O, this is the prevailing wage that is required for these large-scale data centers. In paragraph P, it lays out the green building requirements, Madam Chair, which you all can read there for those certifications. Paragraph Q, this is the repayment of any tax exemptions should they not qualify. And Madam Chair, I think those are sort of the relevant pieces of the legislation.
Thank you. thank you, Senator Housechild. I would call attention. There's one major difference between last year and this year, and that is the revenue estimate. As you're aware, last year there was, it was an unknown, I believe, because of there was no entity or property being developed that would qualify for the tax, the sales tax exemption within the biennial time frame, but there is this year in this bill, and so I would draw members' attention to the impact on the sales tax exemption for FY 2028. Before we begin the testimony, are there any questions to start with for Senator Housechild or anything that he has brought up in his presentation? I don't know what that means, but Senator Klein.
Madam Chair, Senator Housechild, thank you for the bill. And Senator Chair, you actually answered the question I was going to ask about the revenue estimate and the $20 million out in the 2028 year. And it sounds like that's a function of the fact that we anticipate now a new project coming online and impacting. I wondered also if there was an aspect of, is it anticipated by the department that there will be increased usage of this tax credit as it is an upfront incentive rather than a refund? Is that part of it? Thank you.
Senator Housechild.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Senator Klein. I don't think I can definitively say whether or not it will be more used, but it certainly, I think, eases the burden for both the companies and, again, the agencies that have to administer those reimbursements. Making it upfront puts us in line with all the other states and I think would make these companies more interested, perhaps, in Minnesota. So I think your statement is probably in line with the thinking.
Senator Drazkowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Housechild, what is the policy reason for limiting it or requiring, I guess, the threshold of 25,000 square feet or $250 million? If there's one that's at 10,000 square feet and, you know, $100 million, why don't we want them to qualify?
Senator Housechild, the difference.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Senator Drazkowski. I think the idea here was to incentivize what is defined as really the large-scale data centers that are being utilized more and more as technology advances. So it's just sort of creating that incentive for those types of projects. That's not to say that we don't still incentivize the lower, smaller projects.
Senator Drazkowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, yeah, the data centers that are smaller, how would you characterize them and in relation to tax law at this point?
Senator Housechild.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Senator Drazkowski. Just looking at my notes to make sure that I don't say anything incorrectly.
I think that Senator Housechild, the idea or the question is, the sales tax exemptions for the smaller entities are not going away with your bill. You're just expanding it for
right.
Others in the particular. Currently, the sales tax exemption, Senator Housechild, is upfront, or do you have to apply and get a refund?
I'm sorry, Madam Chair, could you repeat that
okay.
last question?
So in your bill
yep.
today, you are proposing that the exemption be an upfront exemption rather than a refund process.
Yes.
Is that different from what we've had in current law for the smaller data centers.
Madam Chair, it looked like Ms. Pollock maybe had
Ms. Pollock had a
clarification.
Sure. Madam Chair, Senator Housechild, the undercurrent law, the data center exemption is refundable. So qualifying purchases would be, sales tax would be paid up front, and then the data centers would apply for a refund. What Senator Housechild's bill does is establish kind of a new category of large-scale data centers with the criteria that Senator Drazkowski mentioned, for which those purchases would be exempt up front. And so it doesn't do anything to the current exemption for qualified data centers and qualified refurbished data centers. It just creates a new category of large-scale data centers. And for those qualifying data centers, the exemption would be available up front.
Senator Drazkowski and Senator Housechild, I think that is a significant difference in how the size of a data center affects the ability to receive and in what process is used for sales tax exemptions on the data center. Senator Drazkowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, Ms. Pollock, so is any data center able to get the refundable credit now in law? So if it's a 1,000 square feet and, you know, I don't know, some fraction of what we have here for the size of the company or the size of the investment, are there any floors in law for the refundability right now for any of the data centers, all the way down to zero, from zero all the way up?
Ms. Pollock.
Madam Chair, Senator Drazkowski, no, there are minimum criteria for data centers to qualify for the exemption, the refundable exemption under current law now.
Do we know what those are, Madam Chair? Ms. Pollock?
Sure. Madam Chair, Senator Drazkowski.
Ms. Pollock.
Let me just look through the statute, okay, and I can give you kind of a bullet-pointed list. They're throughout
Thank you.
The statute.
Thank you.
Senator Nelson, you have a question?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, it goes to the conversation that we're just having right now about the fiscal note, and I'm thinking about...
it's a revenue estimate.
I mean, of course, the revenue estimate. I'm on all these other committees this year, Madam Chair. That fiscal...
the
revenue
chair
estimate.
Of this committee, Senator.
Yeah, yeah, I know. It's quite embarrassing. On this revenue estimate, it appears... So, in trying to understand why it is at this amount compared to last year, I'm left with two thoughts. One is... because it appears that it's simply a factor of making the exemption, making it an exemption as opposed to refundable. So nothing else is changing much to make the revenue estimate change, except that it is an upfront exemption. And so I'm left wondering, it kind of reminds me of like the but-for clauses in some things that we have done. In other words, but for this data center exemption, these things would not happen. And so I just want to be clear
Senator,
that it is...
Senator Nelson, the difference is there was no piece of property in last year's bill that would qualify.
Right.
Because it didn't exist. Now it exists and will be completed by in terms of the Department of Revenue's analysis. It will be completed in the time frame for it to get this upfront exemption, which is amounts to some $20 million.
Yes.
And so it wasn't possible to have it last year because the piece of property in Rosemount was not at a state that it could have been completed by the end of this fiscal year. Now there is a piece of property there that can be, and so it has to be, it's not just a matter of it being an upfront exemption. It is a matter of the timing of the plant, the data center itself, being getting online.
Yes. So,
Senator Nelson.
Yes, Madam Chair. So, well, kind of to finish my thought on that, I'm looking at thinking that perhaps also, in addition to the timing that you just mentioned, this revenue estimate might also be reflective of the competitive nature of this bill. In other words, because we will have an exemption as opposed to a refundable credit, there may be more uptake. That was my thought, that it might be it might just show the competitive nature of what we're doing, making us more competitive. But following your comments, Madam Chair, I'm wondering if the $20 million is just for this, the estimate for this one particular data center.
Senator Hauschild.
Thank you, Chair Rest. Senator Nelson, I think both of you are correct. So Senator Rest is saying the timeline matters in terms of this one project, and Senator Nelson is saying the upfront exemption also matters, and I think that is true for this revenue estimate. And yes, it is for the project that Senator Rest mentioned in Rosemont.
Yes, thank you. And Madam Chair, just to finish, I just wanted to say I am highly supportive. I'm glad to be co-sponsoring this bill with you, but I just wanted to make the point that I believe that this bill is making Minnesota more competitive. And in some way, this fiscal note seems to substantiate that, I think. Oh, revenue estimate seems to substantiate that, oh, yes.
Madam Chair, I might just make one more clarifying statement.
Senator Hauschild.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Senator Senator Nelson. I appreciate the comment about the competitiveness. Yeah. I would just say, I don't know if we can definitively say that a data center would not eventually be reimbursed for the incentive through the existing program. So yes, it is competitive in that sense, but in terms of the amount, the revenue is capturing the upfront exemption because of the timing of the exemption, in addition to possibly the competitiveness, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Okay. Yeah.
Any other questions? Ms. Pollack? Answers.
Madam Chair, I was able to just pull a couple of bullet points from the statute about the criteria that exists for the current exemption for data centers and refurbished data centers from Senator Zukowski's question. So the exemption would apply for new data centers that are at least 25,000 square feet and have an investment of at least $30 million within 48 months and attain three things, uninterruptible power supplies or generator backup power or both, fire suppression and prevention systems, and enhanced security. And then for refurbished data centers, rebuilding or modifying at least 25,000 square feet, an investment of at least $50 million within 24 months, attaining those three characteristics, uninterruptible power supplies or backup generator power or both, sophisticated fire suppression and prevention systems, and enhanced security. Madam Chair, those criteria would remain the same for data centers and refurbished data centers to qualify for the exemption.
Thank you, Ms. Pollack. Would also point out that data centers are not anything particularly new. There are over 40 of them in Minnesota right now. Most of them outside of the metropolitan area. Senator Drazkowski again.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Ms. Pollack. So I thought I heard 25,000 is square feet. So if a data center wants to come in at 20,000 square feet, they wouldn't qualify for the refundable exemption either. Or 15,000 square feet or 10,000 square feet. I would just challenge us as a committee to think about that and what impact our policy has going forward on that. We are incentivizing certainly centers over 25,000 square feet, regardless of whether this bill is adopted or not. Is that important? Maybe we'll hear from the testifiers today. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. are we ready then to begin testimony? Nothing further? Okay, we'll start with Ms. Barbara Comstock from NetChoice. Nobody is online, correct? welcome to the committee. If you would identify yourself for the record, and I would invite Bartlett Cleland to join her, and we'll do this two at a time.
Thank you.
Ms. Comstock, if you'd identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Chair Rest and members of the committee. My name is Barbara Comstock. I'm here with my colleague, Bartlett Cleland, with NetChoice, a trade association of the world's leading online businesses, in support of SF-769. And I also appreciated the opportunity last November to visit the Rosemont Data Center with you. When I served in the Virginia General Assembly, I passed bipartisan data center legislation that opened the door to billions in investment in Virginia and led to Virginia being the number one data center location in the world, which has now resulted most recently, in the most recent report last year, and we had 74,000 jobs in Virginia, which yielded $5.5 billion in labor income, $9.1 billion in GDP. And last year, it was $24 billion in capital investment, which amounted to 84% of all of our capital investment in Virginia. And so why would Minnesota want to attract large-scale data centers? As we detail in our written testimony, this is nearly a $100 billion market, really the biggest that's out there right now. And not every state has the factors that attract data center investment, but the senator did detail that you do have those. And what's missing is the same tax treatment and long-term certainty for equipment that Minnesota already offers for other capital-intensive industries like manufacturing, agriculture, and telecom that is currently offered in 30 other states for data centers, including permanent exemptions in Wisconsin, Iowa, and North Dakota. So when evaluating these tax exemptions here today in this bill, we encourage Minnesota to adopt that here versus not here analysis, because when we had this new economic benefit and revenue in Virginia and it was audited, we found in 2019 when they evaluated it that Virginia's incentives concluded that 90% of the investment would not have occurred were it not for those tax incentives. Instead, it would have gone to other exemptions. And then at the local level, data centers generated just in one county that I represented, Loudoun County, it was by 2019, the incentive went in, I think it was about 2012, we had $300 million in just one county, and then by 2023, it had grown to $735 million, which was a third of the budget in that county. So that obviously reduced property taxes, supported local schools and law enforcement, and allowed that county to grow a lot. So unlike a decade ago when only five states had these tax structures, now you're competing with over 30 states. So obviously we strongly encourage the senator's bill, and I turn it over to my colleague.
Mr. Cleland, do you have anything to add? If so, please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Bartlett Cleland, General Counsel for NetChoice. I'll just add a couple comments. That we stand at a time when modernization of data and computing in all states is critical. Sales and use fund tax programs have been modified in many states, as a proud Midwesterner, primarily in the Midwest, to attract and support the cultivation of a broad-based data center industry. The economic benefits it brings while making programs for both employment and the Department of Revenue to administer. So the couple tweaks, which we've heard before, but I will underscore how simple, honestly, this is. We changed the program from a refund to an exemption, as is done already in Minnesota's manufacturing and sales use tax exemption, which allows, again, for easier administration. And then secondly, we keep the program competitive, particularly, again, in the Midwest, by creating a new investment tier, as was discussed, and removing the sunset for large-scale data centers. That was our goal. Require prevailing wage for construction at these facilities and for green building certifications to ensure sustainability. since Minnesota created their first program, the market has changed dramatically. And if you look at the testimony we submitted to you, you'll see a map that kind of lays it out graphically, I think, better than me explaining it. But again, as a proud Midwesterner, I can say the Midwest is doing very well. But Minnesota's existing programs are less competitive than your current neighbors, other than South Dakota. Otherwise, you are surrounded, as it might be said, with a bunch of permanent exemptions for exactly this kind of building. And why is that important? Because the data centers are the infrastructure backbone of the 21st century economy. Everything that uses the internet, everything you can imagine coming, will use data centers. From cars we drive to businesses that manufacture, create, sell goods and services, it requires these data centers to work. And in an era of digital transformation, data centers foster significant opportunities for Minnesota in the global economy. We want them in the United States, and I would love, again, as a Midwesterner, to see Minnesota step up and have more of them here. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, sir. I now invite Andrew Campo and Joel Johnson to sit at the witness table. Yes, of course. Senator Drazkowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Comstock or Mr. Cleveland, can you characterize for us, so in Virginia, so you heard the discussion about the floor that we have right now. Do the other states have a floor for size of these centers in their policy? I imagine they're all over the board. Are there any states that have no floor that go all the way down to 0 square feet?
No, that is a good question. I think we'd have to get back
you
to
need you, to
Madam Chair.
Chair first, please.
Madam Chair, thank you, Senator. I don't know the specifics on each of the states. We can get back to you on that. But where the revenue comes in is really from these hyperscale data centers. And you know, one of the things that I did want to emphasize, because having been a state legislator and knowing that you all have to balance the budgets, my home state of Virginia now is getting a big part of all these cuts that are coming. And I know as we look at this, these data centers are revenue generators. And when my bill first went in, our state revenue came in and said, this is going to lower revenue. And it actually very quickly has been a revenue producer, because as those numbers that I told you about in Virginia, these big hyperscale data centers, you know, they continually employ our labor and trades. They are bringing in local and state revenue. And so it's the hyperscale data centers that are bringing this money in. So I can get you we can get you the information on the smaller ones. And you have these colo data centers, which are the smaller data centers that a lot of businesses and banks, everybody has some of those. But it's really these very large ones that are the ones that bring and generate this kind of growth, and that are this $100 billion industry that you really kind of want to latch on to. And I mentioned to the senator, Virginia is number one in the world. China is number two. So it would, and Oregon, I believe, is number three. So making, with this $100 billion industry, making the U.S. be a much bigger part of it when China, in the whole AI race, is trying to be competitive with us, is another important piece of us being, the U.S. being a big part of this, too.
So Madam Chair,
Senator Drazkowski.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Comstock. Well, I understand your advocacy for the hyperscale, but I was just curious if you can get those numbers
to
us.
Yes, we can get those for you, Madam Chair.
I think it'd be very interesting. You know, as you think about this, members, so if you didn't have that floor in place, a company could come in, and if the need was you know, a $250,000 investment, you could divide it amongst two and have the same benefits that's expressed by the author in the bill for two communities instead of one, and give more flexibility to companies to do things to better serve the needs of people, because otherwise we're almost artificially kicking out the smaller size options just by our incentives, Ms. Comstock, really, we might not be kicking them out, but we're disincentivizing them relative to the larger ones, which are going to have true market impacts. And so I think we need to really think about those. But I look forward to your list, Ms. Comstock.
Chair,
thank you.
Madam Chair, I could also mention that.
Ms. Comstock, we really do need to move on to other testifiers.
I can speak to
So thank you. Thank you both very much. And again, I invite Joel Johnson and Gavin Andrew Campo. Start with Mr. Campo. If you'd identify yourself for the record, we're pleased to have your testimony.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair, and members of the Taxes Committee. My name is Andrew Campo. I'm the president of the Minnesota Pipe Trades Association, representing over 9,000 skilled trades professionals in the fields of plumbing, pipe fitting, gas fitting, sprinkler fitting, and HVACR service. I'm here today to offer my enthusiastic support for SF-769. At the outset, I want to thank Senator Hochschild for authoring the bill. I also want to thank Chair Rest, Senator Weber, and Senator Nelson for their support. My union supports this bill for one simple but powerful reason: jobs for our members. These data centers provide thousands upon thousands of work hours, both building the data centers as well as the ongoing maintenance, repair, and upgrade work. These are career-building, family-sustaining jobs that are coveted by our members. To give you an idea of what the data centers mean to us, we'll take the current Rosemount worksite as an example. Right now, today, we have 170 folks on that site. For comparison, at the peak of the U.S. Bank Stadium build, we only had 110 members on site. Keep in mind, this is just one data center. Moreover, the owners of these data centers are excellent partners. They share our commitment to the highest of worksite safety standards and work hard to create an attractive workplace for our membership. For example, they provide heated locker facilities and restrooms. They also provide hot food. While some might call these creature comforts, those same people likely don't spend their workday outside in a Minnesota winter on a 12-hour shift. In closing, SF-769 is a high legislative priority for the Minnesota pipe trades. This has to be the year this bill becomes law. Thank you for the opportunity to testify. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Campo. Next, Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Chair Rest, members of the committee. My name is Joel Johnson, and I'm here on behalf of the IBEW State Council, which represents over 15,000 electrical workers from around the state, including hundreds who are already working on data centers being built in Minnesota. Thank you for the opportunity to testify on behalf of this bill. This is one our key priority for this session. Senator Hochschild, thank you for introducing and carrying this bill. We believe that if we are fully to take advantage of the benefits of hyperscale data centers, we need to make sure that state laws and taxes are aligned to encourage their construction here in the state. And there are concrete benefits if this is done right. More and more, these large hyperscale data centers provide the infrastructure for modern commerce. Having them built and operated here in Minnesota means literally thousands of jobs for IBEW members when the facilities are being built, and hundreds of permanent jobs when the centers are operational. These are really good jobs. It also means increased property taxes for state and local governments, 24/7 electrical demand that helps make more efficient use of the electric grid, and particularly intermittent resources like wind and solar, thousands of hours of work for other trades during construction, maintenance, and upgrades, and billions of dollars in direct and indirect investments in the state. As I mentioned before, this is our legislative priority for this year, and we appreciate your support on this. We believe that if we align our laws correctly, we can it will lead to thousands of jobs for our members, and that's really the bottom line for us. Thank you. I can answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Next, then, we have Mr. Hansen and Mr. Martin.
Good Chair Rest and members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to testify in support of Senate File 769. My name is Gavin Hansen, and I serve as the Fiscal and Economic Policy Director for the Minnesota Business Partnership. MBP represents over 100 business leaders and executives whose companies collectively employ nearly 500,000 Minnesotans across a diverse range of industries, significantly contributing to America's headquarters economy. We appreciate Senator Housechild and the bipartisan co-authors for introducing 769, an important piece of legislation that will not only impact the data centers currently operating in Minnesota, but also enhance the state's ability to attract future investments worth billions of dollars. Today, I want to focus on a key aspect of the legislation, the timing of the sales tax exemption and its significance for qualifying businesses. Under current Minnesota law, qualifying data center purchases are exempt from sales and use tax. However, businesses must first pay the tax up front and then go through a lengthy and complex refund process administered by the Department of Revenue. This process imposes an unnecessary administrative burden on taxpayers. To secure a refund, businesses must compile a detailed schedule of qualifying purchases and provide supporting invoices. The department often requests additional documentation, such as vendor contracts, and frequently rejects electronic invoice submissions, forcing taxpayers to work with vendors to obtain pro forma invoices. Further complicating matters, the department routinely challenges the location of use, requiring taxpayers to submit affidavits or other proof to demonstrate that the purchase were used at qualifying data centers. The review process can take months, and if disputes arise, appeals can take years to resolve. This delays businesses' access to capital and consumes substantial resources to comply and defend claims. The argument that the Department of Revenue must control this exemption does not align with Minnesota's approach to other sales tax exemptions. The department already has audit authority, and the Minnesota Department of Employment and Economic Development certifies qualifying data centers, ensuring proper oversight. Transitioning to an upfront exemption rather than a refund-based process would bring Minnesota's tax policy in line with best practices. This reform would eliminate unnecessary administrative hurdles, allow businesses to free up capital for reinvestment, and strengthen Minnesota's competitive position in attracting data center investments, all without compromising accountability. Minnesota's existing data center sales tax exemption has a proven track record of success. Companies are increasingly considering Minnesota as a prime location for major investments, which translates into thousands of construction jobs and millions in local tax revenues. Senate File 769 represents a common sense solution, one that simplifies compliance, promotes economic growth, and positions Minnesota as a national leader in attracting private investment. We urge the committee to support this reform and streamline the process for taxpayers. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Mr. Martin.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair Rest and members of the committee. My name is Zach Martin. I'm the manager of government affairs for Elite Minnesota Power. I'm here on behalf of Minnesota Power, an investor-owned utility with more than 150,000 customers up in northeast Minnesota. Today, I speak in strong support of Senate File 769. And first, I want to thank Senator Grant Housechild and the other authors for your continued leadership on this important economic development issue. I'd like to approach today's topic from a slightly different angle. If your district lies outside the seven-county metro, you know that attracting economic development projects and sourcing an adequate workforce can be very challenging. Most industries that are investing at least $250 million or more are in manufacturing, and they require a substantial workforce that work three shifts, for example. This tends to place greater Minnesota at a competitive disadvantage to the higher population regions when competing for these high-end investments. Large-scale data centers, on the other hand, provide the same hundreds of millions of dollars worth of investment, but require a more modest workforce for ongoing operations for a single facility. This fact improves Greater Minnesota's opportunity to attract major investment. These high-paying jobs are also critical in improving the economic outlook for smaller communities. The bill requires facilities to invest at least $250 million to access the state tax incentive. And as you heard from other testifiers, the investment is often well above that mark. Those dollars have a very real and significant impact for people and communities of Greater Minnesota, especially for those in construction. So Minnesota Power serves some of the largest industries in the nation and lowest income communities in the state. So affordability is top of mind. And as Senator Grant Hochschild also just mentioned, we are committed to comply with the 100% by 2040 carbon-free standard, regardless, as we move forward.
Thank you very much. Senator Weber, did you have a question?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a couple questions for Mr. Martin. These have been posed to me, and I didn't know the answer, and so this provides a good opportunity. First, a couple of Decembers ago, MISO sent out a notice to electric distributors here in our area to be with the potential of having the power grid shut down. And the question I have is, in the power supply contract with data centers, is there anything that gives them protection from a shutdown as opposed to the rest of the population?
Chair Rest, Senator Weber, I'm not aware of any specific, you know, special note for data centers in particular. I would say from Minnesota Power's perspective, we have a long history, almost a century long, of serving large power customers in particular. So we have a lot of experience of working with large power companies that need to be up and running 24/7, and that's very important to their operations and competing on a global scale. And so data centers would also fall under that same strategy for our approach, and that reliability is a top concern, to your point with the MISO flagging transmission issues, and affordability. And so a utility looks long-term, 15 years in the future, through an integrated resource plan. And actually, we're doing that. We're about to release that pretty shortly. And that takes a long look at reliability, transmission that's needed for different types of customers that we have. So I hope that answers part of your question.
Madam Chair. Senator Weber.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, thank you. And then the other question I have, and I recognize this may vary depending upon location, but do you see the need for the development of any new high voltage transmission lines in order to supply necessary power into some areas?
Chair Rest, Senator Weber, another great question. Yes, high voltage direct current lines in particular are a very unique asset within Minnesota. We happen to own and operate one of them, and one of the substations is right behind Duluth, Minnesota. They're a very unique asset in which you could package a large amount of energy, shoot it across a long distance without a lot of line loss. And so this is something that I know a lot of companies are exploring this type of technology and getting these higher voltage lines into the system because they provide such an advantage to moving power efficiently.
Very good. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Martin. Next, we'll hear from Tanner Fritzinger and Ivana Stark, if you would approach the witness table. Mr. Fritzinger, please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Tanner Fritzinger, and I am a political affairs coordinator for the Minnesota Association of Professional Employees, otherwise known as MAPE. We are a union that represents over 18,500 state employees across all agencies, boards, and commissions. Thank you for the opportunity to share our opposition to Senate File 769. Senate File 769 raises concerns for us as it extends costly tax exemptions to corporations with little regard to the financial stability of the general fund. Beyond the implication on the state budget, the implicit public cost that comes along with the proliferation of large-scale data centers, including increased energy demand and environmental impacts from increased water consumption. Under current law, sales tax exemption for data center equipment construction and maintenance will cost $230 million in 26 and 27. This is more than 23 times larger than its estimated cost of less than $10 million during the 2018-2019 biennium. As large-scale projects of this growing industry enter the state, this program could easily grow well beyond its current size and depriving our state general fund the stability that it desperately needs in the face of large-scale federal funding cuts and a project budget deficit, or a projected budget deficit in the next biennium. It is short-sighted to provide such an enormous tax break for more major corporations in this economic climate. Furthermore, allowing an upfront tax exemption instead of the current refund model for large-scale data centers prevents the public and the legislature's ability to accurately track the size of the program, and it inhibits the state's ability to readily verify the program's costs. We hope that as public stewards of our tax dollars, you strongly reconsider abdicating your ability to provide meaningful oversight to this program. Beyond the loss of revenues and ability to collect reliable data, new large-scale data centers could present additional investment requirements from the state. The introduction of more and larger data centers will increase water consumption and place a larger strain on Minnesota's energy grid. Our state has had a long-held commitment to responsible regulatory environment, aim to ensure that we adequately maintain the natural resources we need and to support a reliable energy grid. MAIT members in these agencies already face significant staffing challenges in processing permitting requests or initiating utility rate case reviews. Allowing this program to grow uncontrolled puts additional pressure on agencies' internal regulatory framework with no additional investment. Senate File 769 is not a benefit to Minnesota, its citizens, or the employees that help make our state work. Instead, Senate File 769 expands an unnecessary handout to corporations at the expense of the state's financial stability and our communities for a discounted price. We ask that you oppose this bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ms. Stark, please identify yourself for the record.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I'm Ivana Stark, State Director of Clean Water
Action.
And
would you bring the microphone closer to your mouth? Thank you. Appreciate it.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, I'm Ivana Stark, State Director of Clean Water Action Minnesota. Our mission is to protect the land we live on, the air we breathe, and the water we drink. I'm here representing tens of thousands of our Minnesota members, and we urge rejection of Senate File 769. Why is an environmental group here to talk about taxes? Because giving tax exemptions to billionaires on the backs of the most vulnerable speaks to our core value of justice. We aren't seeking to tax success, but we do believe in fighting against greed and ensuring that those with the most pay their fair share. Our interest in data centers stems from the consumption of huge quantities of water and their use of an array of chemicals to aid in refrigerating and building maintenance. Across Minnesota, thousands of residents are exposed to toxic chemicals and unclean water through no fault of their own. By appropriately taxing billionaires, we can invest in meaningful cleanup and protect our natural resources and water. Data centers cost Minnesotans money as our water resources are depleted and cleanup costs are applied. Giving billionaires more tax breaks when average Minnesotans are struggling to buy basic necessities isn't the answer. These companies can afford to pay their fair share. Google has $30 billion in profits. Meta has $62 billion. Microsoft has $80 billion. We can have facilities that offer jobs and that pay their fair share in taxes. On August 4th, 2024, ProPublica published an article called "How a Washington Tax Break for Data Centers Snowballed into One of the State's Largest Corporate Giveaways." It's kind of a mouthful of a title. This article explains that once tax breaks were given in Washington state, the goalposts kept moving. It's an important warning for us. First, job promises were made. Washington lawmakers approved a tax break for data centers to create more jobs, but they can't actually say how many jobs the state got. Second, the tax break snowballed. Repeated expansions turned the tax breaks into one of the biggest corporate tax giveaways in the state. And third, unintended consequences occurred. The tax break rewarded growth of an industry whose massive demand for electricity could threaten clean energy efforts in Washington. We have seen this play out in state after state across the country, and we know how this story ends. We have an opportunity to do better by putting hardworking, taxpaying Minnesotan residents before big billionaire corporate interests. Our natural resources can't afford the strain of billions of gallons of water to keep data centers running, and our neighbors can't afford to write the check. Again, on behalf of thousands of Minnesota members, we ask you to prioritize the financial health of Minnesota families over billionaires and global corporations. We are here and our door is open to have future conversations about how we can move forward in a way that would not allow for free corporate giveaways. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I invite Catherine Hoffman and Patty O'Keefe. Ms. Kaufman, if you'd identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Senator Housechild, committee.
My name also, is... Also, if you would bring the mic closer to you so that we can hear you.
Great. Okay. Hello. My name is Catherine Kaufman. I'm a resident of Senate District 61, and I'm here with Isaiah as a volunteer. I'm here to oppose Senate File 769 as a Minnesotan and as an electrical engineer in transmission planning of the electric grid. So data centers are not new, but data centers at such large scale very much are. Large-scale data centers present a unique challenge to the grid. They use an enormous amount of power, outpacing most of the largest generation projects I've seen come online in the last 4 years. They are also unprecedented in their effect on the grid. For most of the grid's history, users of power have been spread out. Under grid duress, operators can rely on market mechanisms or operational discretion to enact small changes in power consumption to stabilize the grid. Large-scale data centers are not known for being so flexible. Our grid operator, MISO, does not currently have well-defined rules for the flexibility of these data center loads in their tariff or in their transmission expansion plan. In my experience, this kind of flexibility is not default and is costly for data center builders. But I'd like to state clearly that if these large data centers are interconnected without flexibility, grid reliability will suffer, and a renewable energy-dominated grid will be less feasible. I have conversations with folks in my field all the time who say that these data centers are coming, and we can't do much to stop them. So let's at least not accelerate the ease in which large corporations can spend billions making profit, destabilizing a grid that we Minnesotans are working so hard to bring to 100% clean energy by 2040. Thank you. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Ms. O'Keefe.
Thank you. Hello, Madam Chair and committee members and Senator Hochschild. My name is Patty O'Keefe. I'm the Midwest Regional Director at Vote Solar, an organization advocating for equitable solar as part of the transition to clean energy. Thank you for the opportunity to weigh in on SF 769. As an organization and an individual who cares deeply about our need to address climate change and about how quickly we need to do it, I am concerned about this bill. I know this specific bill isn't about how these data centers will be powered, but it is about incentivizing them to come to our state, which will dramatically increase demand for energy. If built, the planned data centers for Minnesota could consume as much electricity as all 2.3 million households in the state. In states across the country, data centers are being used as excuses for keeping fossil fuel plants online for longer and even building new fossil fuel infrastructure. We already have a bill seeking to do that here, SF 1393 in the Senate and HF 28 in the House. Though you could argue that the tax portion of this bill isn't exactly in our lane, this giveaway is too egregious to ignore. Right now, companies pay sales tax upfront and apply for a refund, creating at least some degree of transparency around the program's cost. SF 769 scraps that safeguard, letting tech giants skip the tax entirely with no upfront payment, no oversight, and no clear accounting of the price tag. That's especially alarming given that the exemption has already ballooned from $4.7 million in 2018 to a projected $230 million in the next biennium, making it one of the most expensive corporate tax breaks in the state of Minnesota. Every dollar funneled into this unchecked giveaway is a dollar that won't be available for essential public services like schools, infrastructure, and healthcare. Unlike targeted incentives that drive broad economic benefits, this exemption overwhelmingly benefits a handful of massive tech companies while draining resources that should be invested in Minnesota families and communities. At a time when corporate profits are at an all-time high, when tech companies have outsized influence on our government, and wealth inequality continues to hurtle towards a breaking point, we are considering giving state tax breaks to big tech, to billion-dollar corporations. Come on, we can do better than this, Minnesota. Thank you.
Next is Aurora Votran and Peter Reinius. I'm sorry if I mispronounced your name. I hope I was close. but the if you'd begin by identifying yourself.
Chair Rest, members of the committee, my name is Aurora Vautrin, and I'm the legislative director for 100%. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today on SF 769. We are strongly opposed to extending the data center tax credit and to reducing transparency of its administration for qualified large data centers. While we have concerns about this bill, we do appreciate its creation of a definition for large data centers and the addition of responsible requirements for them. As we enter an uncertain time, with the future of federal funding becoming less certain every day, and with our current budget projection putting us in a deficit in fiscal year 28-29, we need all options on the table and all information possible for legislators to make difficult decisions about how and where Minnesota makes investments. The change in how this tax credit is administered does the opposite, preventing us from seeing the true cost of this credit specifically for the largest data centers. Additionally, having these companies pay sales tax in the future is not a punishment. It's having them contribute towards a public good and services that both the data centers and their employees will rely on. Every dollar given to a data center owner is a dollar we are not investing in a public school, a nursing home, or a clean energy solution. It's important to take a hard look at the value of this tax credit. Minnesota ought to approach the future of large data centers with care. Their impact on communities is big, as is their public price tag. You can find my full public comments in your packets. In the interest of time, I abbreviated. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you. Mr. Wagenius.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Peter Wagenius, Legislative Director of Sierra Club North Star Chapter. Sierra Club is one of 23 organizations signing this letter opposed to these subsidies for data centers. Budgets are statements of our values, and that includes tax expenditures. The data center tax credit is an automatic, uncapped corporate giveaway that has already cost Minnesota taxpayers over $350 million. Originally estimated at less than $5 million annually, the program has ballooned to over $110 million a year. As these tax data centers proliferate, this will skyrocket unless the legislature acts. And who are we subsidizing? Not Minnesotans struggling to afford their lives, but some of the wealthiest corporations in the world. Amazon, Google, Microsoft, oligarchs with invitations to inaugurations. They enjoy exemptions from sales taxes not available to local Minnesota businesses. Since there is no limit to the greed of big tech, there must be a limit on Minnesota's willingness to feed that greed. As our state faces structural budget deficit, incentivizing more data centers is fiscally reckless. What funding to services people rely on will be scaled back to perpetuate handing out more blank checks to corporations? The public will compare any funding cuts in this year's budget to this, and they should. Worse is the conversion of this rebate to an upfront exemption. If this bill passes, how will citizens reliably know how much corporate welfare we are shoveling out to big tech billionaires? This bill doesn't save big tech from complexity, it saves them from transparency. As described in our letters, these facilities are not just subsidy hogs impacting our state budget and energy hogs impacting our grid, they're also water hogs causing both water pollution and water depletion. With state budgets on the deficits on the horizon, profits soaring, and more threats to our environment, we need more oversight and more conditions. This bill moves in exactly the wrong direction. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Wagenius. Next is Kathy Johnson and J.T. Haynes. Ms. Johnson, if you would begin.
I'm Kathy Johnson, Chair of the Coalition for Responsible Data Center Development. I'm from Farmington, Minnesota. Thank you, Madam Chair, Committee, Senator Haushaum. Please allow me to be upfront. Our coalition's not opposed to data centers, but have great concern because of the lack of regulation and the incentives from the state. These tax subsidies are going straight into the pockets of out-of-state companies like Amazon, Google, Meta, Microsoft. Once the construction phase is complete, the state will be granting subsidies for the operation of these centers with very few permanent jobs established, and that's well supported in research. How's that fair? to Minnesota taxpayers and families? How does the well-documented rise in land values address the affordable housing crisis? How does taking millions out of our state tax revenue allow families to have money for groceries, daycare, health care? Bo Williams, a Microsoft executive responsible for data centers in North America, stated in the New York Times, "I can't think of a single site selection or placement decision that was decided on a set of tax incentives." Developers and multi-billion dollar corporations are reaping the benefits by using our resources, and who is taking the risk here? It's Minnesota citizens. Developers are unscrupulously trying to site these any place where there's large parcels of land near high voltage power lines. But sometimes that's in a residential community or near an environmentally fragile site. Doesn't seem to matter. This ensures premium profit for themselves with no regard for the effect on our electrical supply, water supply, home values, noise, air pollution, quality of life for residents. Again, the people are taking the risks. Is the promised windfall of taxes to cities and townships going to be greater than our increased electric bills or water bills or damage to electric appliances by bad harmonics? Because those are the norm in places where data centers have already located. In those states, power companies are promising lower rates, but turning around and passing the cost of infrastructure onto citizens, and their profits are mushrooming. Why do you think it would be any different here in Minnesota? I ask that the Minnesota legislature be at the helm of data center development in Minnesota and don't leave decisions about data center parameters or upfront tax incentives in the hands of the developers or predatory developers. Expect companies to pay their own way instead of granting uncapped tax subsidies coming out of the pockets of your constituents and going right into the pockets of billionaires. Now is the time for our legislative leaders holistically to examine hyperscale data centers, demand transparency, accountability, and to ensure that the promised financial benefits of data centers are real, balanced, and do not diminish from the quality of life of Minnesota citizens. The people of Minnesota, with the help of the government, have worked long and hard to protect our valuable resources, and we have a highly trained and educated workforce. Any corporation desiring to do business in our state should come here responsibly. Make them pay their own way, and don't give out corporate welfare. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Haynes.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members, Senator Hochschild. My name is J.T. Haynes. I'm the Northeastern Minnesota Program Director for the Minnesota Center for Environmental Advocacy, or MCEA. MCEA is a public interest law firm and nonprofit advocacy organization with a 50-year history of defending Minnesota's environment and the health of our people. I'm here from our Duluth office. MCEA opposes Senate File 769, though we do agree there's an immediate need to address the current open-ended and uncapped sales tax rebate available to data centers. When this tax rebate was adopted in 2011, it had an estimated fiscal impact of $5 million annually. If unaddressed, this existing tax rebate will dwarf this cost in 2025 and beyond. Senate File 769 unfortunately makes the problem of accountability for supersized mega data centers worse by converting the current rebate into a point of sale exemption. Under the present system, a data center owner needs to submit receipts to receive a refund. Under Senate File 769, the largest data centers simply wouldn't pay sales tax on eligible products. Minnesota taxpayers at least know how much is being spent under the current system. Under 769, we wouldn't. There are voluntary certifications that are attached to the exemption, and that's a small step in the right direction. But if we care about energy efficiency, if we care about the cost of electricity and reliability of electricity, if we care about water consumption, if we care about the metals and materials consumed by these hyperscale data centers, if we care about ensuring data centers are properly sited, then we should be establishing clear Minnesota standards that must be met rather than allowing data center developers to pick and choose voluntary certification. As others have shared, I want to conclude by noting who would benefit the most from Senate File 769, and that, of course, is the wealthiest industry that has ever existed on the planet. This is not an exemption for mom and pop Main Street businesses. Senate File 769 specifically benefits the very largest data centers run by the very largest tech corporations for even easier access to potentially hundreds of millions of dollars in exemptions, a burden that should not be carried by Minnesota taxpayers. As this committee and this legislature assembles the next budget, every dollar sent to the tech giants trades off with a dollar for schools, healthcare, and other essential government services. The bottom line for us at this time is that we are concerned that Minnesota does not have a regulatory framework in place to properly weigh the major negative impacts of hyperscale data centers, let alone agree to subsidize them. We agree with Senator Housechild about the exceptional nature of Minnesota. We can chart our own path here, one that considers all the things that make us strong. We ask you to vote no on Senate File 769 and to remove and address the existing tax breaks. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next is Ms. Snyder and Ms. Meridian. Ms. Snyder, if you would begin.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Caitlin Snyder. I'm representing Education Minnesota, 84,000 educators across the state, about one out of three members of labor in Minnesota. There are a lot of benefits to being the anti-penultimate testifier, mostly that I get to say that word, which I don't get to say very often. But I'm going to focus my testimony today on some items that I don't think have been highlighted as much as some of the previous testimony. One of the highlights that has been outlined in this bill about a benefit is about the potential property tax increase to our school districts across the state as we have new investment from data centers. And while I am excited about what this could mean for students in Rosemont, I also represent educators in Lake City, St. Michael, Albertville, Elk River, Net Lake, communities that are not going to have the same sort of return on investment here. The state of Minnesota has a duty to provide a general and uniform system of public schools, not create an environment in which historically wealthy companies like Meta and Amazon can play communities against each other. I am incredibly sensitive to the point that Senator Housechild said at the beginning of his testimony about Minnesota exceptionalism and how the states are being driven to create a competitive environment. But I will remind the committee that when teachers and parents file for a tax refund for their school supplies, that is a reimbursement. It is not an upfront exemption like this bill provides. And when I think about Minnesota exceptionalism, I think about the fact that all of our neighboring states have more mental health staff in their schools than we do, and that all of our neighboring states have half the educator pay gap that we have here in Minnesota, 31% here, 15 to 17 in our neighborhoods, in our neighboring states. So I urge the community to be cautious when we're talking about billions of dollars in fund transfers across the state, and to keep an eye in investing in the general fund so we can pay our teachers better, pay pensions and healthcare. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ms. Meridian.
Thank you, Chair Rest, committee members. My name is Sarah Meridian, and I'm the Government Relations and Policy Director for CURE, a rurally-based nonprofit organization dedicated to protecting and restoring resilient towns and landscapes by harnessing the power of the people who care about them. I appreciate the opportunity to testify in opposition to Senate File 769 today. Under existing law, qualifying data centers can claim a sales tax exemption for their purchase of certain equipment, software, and electricity. The usual sales tax applies at the time of purchase, but qualifying data centers can then be refunded for those purchases by the Department of Revenue if the data center shows their work and deed certifies that the data center meets the requirements under the law. Under SF 769, the largest data centers, hyperscalers, would no longer be required to show their work because a sales tax exemption would apply upfront at the time of purchase. Instead, the data centers themselves would certify that they will meet the requirements for the exemption, and any verification by deed or the Department of Revenue about compliance would occur before any purchase is made. This kind of system eliminates transparency about the total cost to Minnesota taxpayers and seems counterproductive to efforts being made by this legislature and the administration to combat waste, fraud, and abuse. It's important to remember that without this bill, data centers will still be able to receive the benefits of a generous sales tax exemption, will still be able to do business in Minnesota, and will still be able to deliver on their promises of jobs and economic benefits to our state. They'll just need to continue showing their work. This is not an unreasonable expectation for an industry that stands to make some of the wealthiest companies on the planet even wealthier while asking Minnesota to provide ongoing access to significant amounts of land, electricity, and water. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Eric Bernstein and Mr. Mitch Dicklitson. Please begin, Mr. Bernstein.
Chair Rest, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Eric Bernstein, and I'm the coalition director of We Make Minnesota. We're a coalition of labor and grassroots organizations dedicated to a fair tax code and a state budget sufficient to meet Minnesota's public investment needs. Thanks for the opportunity to share our perspective on HF 769, which would extend the sales tax exemption for qualified data centers, create a new category of large-scale data centers, and convert the program from a rebate to an upfront exemption. We're concerned about the prospect of extending this costly program, as well as the loss of transparency that will occur when taxpayers are no longer required to submit expenses for reimbursement. The current sales tax exemption for data centers is estimated to cost $230 million during the 26-27 biennium. This is an enormous subsidy that will exert substantial pressure on the general fund. To put it to scale, because I think it can be difficult to understand how these figures figure into our larger budget, the data center sales tax exemption is already as large as the research and development tax credit, which covers a wide range of industries, and is often described as a load-bearing component of Minnesota's headquarters economy, so a key reason that Minnesota's home to so many Fortune 500 companies. This tax credit, on the other hand, or exemption rather, goes to just one industry. So a credit this large for a single industry is deeply troubling to our members who are working in under-resourced schools, hospitals, and public administrative facilities across the state, as well as to those seeking affordable childcare, accessible healthcare, and other public goods and services for their loved ones. We're also very concerned about the looming growth, which we could not track as well if the exemption is converted to an upfront exemption. In our letter, we discuss industry research that suggests increased data center activity could easily push state costs to as much as $750 million by 2030-31. But the recent experience in Virginia, which we've heard a lot about, posits a possibility of even further growth. Their program increased from $136 million in 2022 to $750 million in 2023. If we see something like that here in Minnesota, it could be pretty devastating. And then the revenue estimate that we got today gives us another window into what we might expect. The $20 million expenditure in fiscal year 2028 represents DOR's estimate of the cost of one large-scale data center. The Star Tribune has reported plans for as many as 10 coming to Minnesota, so we can infer what could happen there. Now, admittedly, this bill won't greatly alter the cost of the subsidy. My understanding of that estimate is that it's a shift, but we are seeing what that one facility represents because of the timing issue. So our coalition feels strongly that if the state is going to maintain a policy that hands hundreds of millions of dollars over to private corporations, that transparency and strong data collection on who is benefiting is the least we can ask for. We do appreciate the desire, of course, to stimulate economic activity and create good-paying jobs. We also agree with Senator Hochschild's statements about Minnesota exceptionalism, or our exceptional nature. However, a review of 52 different 50-state surveys suggests that Minnesota already has one of the most generous policies in the country. We're one of 8 states that exempts construction materials, data center equipment itself, and electricity, and we're the only state in the region that does all 3 of those things. And of course, we're already home to a growing data center industry, given our strong climate, grid, and capable workforce. So we feel the need for this policy is unclear, and it's especially problematic given the deficit that we're looking at in 28-29. I know there are also environmental concerns about the impact of these facilities, for example, on water and the grid. From a fiscal perspective, those sorts of impacts come with public costs. So if the state surrenders permanently the revenue proceeds from major industries, as this might become, then families and local governments are left to pick up the slack. We find that unacceptable. So. I'll close there. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Bernstein. Mr. Dicklitson.
Madam Chair, committee members, my name is Mitch Dicklitson. I'm not affiliated with any organizations. I'm just here as a Minnesota resident representing myself. Thank you for allowing me to testify this morning. I'm here to express my enthusiastic support for SF 769. Data centers are a pivotal part of modern life, and they are what will advance the social media and tech companies into the future for all of us to benefit. Most of the social media sites that I use and that we all use, as well as many other tech firms, began as scrappy startups from men in their garages with little to nothing to their names. And fast forward to today, these are the same men at the forefront of the world that I want to live in. one where I get perfectly curated, self-affirming content without any boring news about human rights or constitutional violations polluting my feed, giving Amazon, Microsoft, Meta, or any other good faith tech company a tax break for their data centers are going to be essential. These are billion-dollar companies. Do we really want Minnesota to be a reason that they lose money for their shareholders? I wouldn't dream it. The tax breaks are essential for these companies to stay profitable. I don't want to see investment in clean water and clean energy, safe and walkable infrastructure for Minnesotans, access to affordable health care, God forbid, free meals for poor children whose parents are on welfare, until we give major tax breaks to these companies. Jeff Bezos only has one $500 million yacht, after all. What if he needs another one? As a taxpayer, I demand my elected representatives do what they're elected for, and that's giving as many of my tax dollars, Minnesotans' tax dollars, to Elon Musk, to Mark Zuckerberg, and other tech billionaire bros in the form of corporate welfare, the only welfare that helps everyday Americans. I urge you to vote yes for these tax breaks for huge mega data centers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Senator Housechild, Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Would you like me to jump into
what? Yes.
Okay, thanks. Madam Chair, I'd like to offer the A4 amendment.
Senator Dibble offers the A4 amendment. I believe
coming around.
It needs to be.
I have. Yeah, Senator Housechild
needs to be
has
distributed.
A copy of it. So. Oh, yes, too.
Senator Housechild, I believe you have a copy of it.
Yep.
Yep. Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll just preview ahead of time. I'm just looking for an opportunity to surface some of the issues that have been expressed.
Now's the time.
I'm not going to push for a vote on the amendment, but I do want an opportunity to enter into a conversation about some of the matters. So the A4 amendment, what it would propose to do is to subject the data centers to a little more scrutiny, a little more analysis, and some requirements that are responsive around environmental concerns as well as energy concerns. So I'll just walk through it very, very quickly. It would require that before a data center is placed in service, that information be provided about the amount and the type of metals that are going to be used in that data center, and the percentage of those metals that are going to be recycled. And then once it's in service, submitting some information and subjecting a data center to some requirements. First of all, an analysis of whether or not it's going to increase electricity costs or decrease electrical reliability or have some sort of a negative consequence for our carbon-free standard, which we passed recently. It would require the requisite environmental review be conducted by the Environmental Quality Board under the specific rules that they have available to them on of different types of large-scale facilities of this type that get built that can be found in rules that the EQB operates under, including an analysis of the amount of electricity and water that would be proposed to be used by the facility. With respect to water, it would require a certification from the DNR that the water that's going to be used is done so under a permit that attests to the sustainability of the use of that water, and if the water surpasses a certain threshold, 60 million gallons per year, that it's not going to have a negative consequence for the aquifer that it's drawing that water from. And then we talked about the metals earlier, then a certification then of the quantity of the metals that have been used in the construction of the data center. I forgot to mention, we also want to know where those metals come from at the outset. And then with respect to the impact, there's a land use concern, of course, the consequence to nearby sensitive neighbors, particularly in residential areas, so making sure that data centers are located in industrial districts. So that's my proposal. It doesn't really speak to some of the other concerns that have been articulated about revenue and finance implications. I share some of those concerns. I respect, of course, what Senator Housechild is doing, and I want to emphasize that and understand fully the goals and his intent in supporting bringing data centers to Minnesota. I do want to acknowledge, however, that even the testifiers who are in favor simply put that we're in competition. We're being basically traded off against other states who are similar to the stadium conversations, certainly these companies can afford to build these data centers. They don't need these tax breaks. They have literally, in some cases, over $100 billion in cash on hand. But we're put in this posture of having to compete with each other for tax breaks to bring them here, like much like the professional sports teams have done. But with that, I do definitely respect Senator Hochschild and what he's trying to do, and just want to be able to open up a conversation on these subjects. So that's my proposal, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Hochschild. Response?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Senator Dibble. Senator Dibble and I just this morning had the opportunity to talk about this amendment, and there's a lot here. So, you know, I guess I would propose ongoing conversations, Madam Chair, just so that I can understand it better and maybe have a more direct dialogue with Senator Dibble on what he's hoping to accomplish with this amendment and go from there. I would oppose at this time, you know, putting on the amendment given the lack of information and time to consider it.
I'm sorry, you're saying you oppose adopting the amendment?
Right, yes, thank Madam you. Chair, because I would like to have more dialogue.
Just
yes.
Want to make sure I get the words right. Senator Dibble, did you want to vote on this amendment?
No, Madam Chair. When the time is appropriate, I'll withdraw.
Okay. Thank you very much. Senator Dibble withdraws the A4 amendment, but it has been before us and will certainly engender more discussion. I will point out, because people have been referring to it, page 173 of the tax expenditure budget that gives the history of this tax expenditure starting the years here, starting it's just for the 4 years, 24 through 27, and that the LBO and the tax expenditure commission is also taking a look at the current sales tax exemption for data centers. Senator Hochschild, do you have some final comments that you'd like to make?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and members of the committee, and I really do appreciate all the testimony. Clearly, this is an impassioned issue, and there are a lot of opinions and folks that care deeply about the state of Minnesota, and I think that's really important, and that's what I love most about this job. What I would say is Minnesota has a choice to make. We are not a world unto ourselves. We are not an island in Minnesota. We are a state as part of a country with 49 other states and a global economy that we must compete with. The truth is carbon, but Minnesota made the decision to have a 2040 goal so that we are reducing our carbon footprint, and these data centers will have to follow those carbon guidelines that they do not have to follow in other competitive states. This carbon will be produced, but if it's in Minnesota, it will meet the guidelines of clean energy. The cloud is the cloud. And each and every one of us in this room, I guarantee it, will use the cloud. So whether you like it or not, data centers are the future. They will be developed, they will be constructed, and you will use it. So if it's in China, if it's in Michigan, or if it's in Minnesota, this is the future, and Minnesota should be a part of that future. Good jobs are good jobs, but in Minnesota, they're union jobs and they're prevailing wage jobs. They're not in Iowa, which is fighting for right to work, right? Minnesota honors and respects our union jobs, and we want to make sure that those workers are getting paid the wages that they deserve to construct these facilities. And tax incentives are tax incentives. We heard testimony that all of our surrounding states have more competitive tax incentives. But what we get in Minnesota is we get the offshoots of these investments. We get the job creation, the local ongoing jobs, and we get the local benefits for the tax revenue. Many of my communities of which would benefit greatly in reducing their property tax burden and supporting our schools. So Madam Chair, we have a choice in Minnesota. Do we want to be part of the future and be strategic and make the investments that we're all gonna at the end of the day use and make sure that it's in a carbon-free environment, or do we want China and Iowa to do it? That's the choice before us, and I hope we'll make the right decision. Thanks so much for the opportunity.
Thank you, Senator Hochschild. Any further comments or questions for Senator Hochschild at this hearing? Senator Drazkowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I don't want to take a lot of time, but I did, in reading the bill, my questions about size. The bill does provide for this to apply to multiple locations if they're connected by fiber, so that's something for us to think about as well. Might ameliorate some of the questions about, you know, can smaller facilities also qualify? So when you read the fine print, you learn more. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that observation. There being no further business before the committee, before we adjourn, I want to remind public and members that we will begin at 8:30 tomorrow and at 8:30 on Thursday. Tomorrow, we will be taking up the local sales tax reforms and vendor allowances, and on Thursday, staff. And at this point, I lay over then Senator Housechild, Senate file 769 for possible consideration in the omnibus tax bill. The committee is adjourned.